Here's Murph and Mac, Brian Murphy and Paul McCaffrey on KNBR 680 and streaming live at KNBR.com.
It's great how, seasons unfold and things happen. And a guy named Tony Girardetti, number 63, has become a critical part of the 49ers defensive line. And he is delighted to get out there and play football, which he did at Texas A&M and growing up in Texas. And now he's with us on the Murph and Mac Show on the Ring Central guest line. He's live from Santa Clara before they practice today. So, Tony, we appreciate you taking time to come on with Brian Murphy, Paul McCaffrey here on the 49ers flagship station. How are you this morning? How's Santa Clara this morning, Tony?
I'm good. Santa Clara was great.
Yeah.
Ready to get to work.
Right on, man.
Yeah. Well, we were dying to know a lot about you because you're out there making plays, you're intercepting passes, you're making tackles. So we'd love to get a little background on you. So tell us, you grew up in Texas, right? What kind of town did you grow up in? A big town, small town?
I grew up in Dallas, Texas. That's where I'm from. I was born and raised in Dallas, Texas. So big city.
Yeah, big city for sure. Now, was your high school one of those big, big high school powers?
Yeah, I went to DeSoto High School, and with big school, 5A. So, even with the small schools, football is huge in Texas. So going to a school like that, it was a lot of competition and stuff like that. We played against every week.
Does that mean you ever watched the movie Friday Night Lights with Billy Bob Thornton or the TV show Friday Night Lights?
Yeah, I watched the movie, of course.
Yeah.
I actually went to Dallas Carter for a little bit of my freshman season. So, and then I transferred to DeSoto.
You know what's amazing is there's no way you're out here in California. You've seen it now. I mean, yeah, we like high school football, and there's some good high school football, especially De La Salle and down on the peninsula with the Catholic schools, Bellarmine, St. Francis, all those Sarah. But it can't be anything compared to what you did. Did you used to play in front of what? 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people?
Yeah, so something like that. Our stadium was, I've seen a couple of places that we've been, a couple of junior colleges, and, our stadium was about the same size as maybe a small junior college out here or something like that.
Man, oh man. So you were used to it early. You were ready for big time football.
Big crowds, yeah. big attention, yeah.
And got to ask you then, so then you get out of DeSoto, and what were your college options?
I was pretty highly recruited, so I could have went to just about anywhere, and everybody recruited me. I actually committed to Texas A&M really early, though, and so that stopped my recruiting. But I actually then I decommitted when they had a coaching change, and it opened back up. But I could have went pretty much anywhere. I chose Texas A&M. Because I just, I fell in love with the atmosphere and the fans and the students, and that's where I decided to go.
Did you come out west and visit any schools in California before you made the decision?
No, I was actually scheduled to come and visit USC, but my mom was freaking out about that. She was saying that I was she was saying that I was I would have been too far away from home and I actually, Ken Norton Jr. called me. After I decommitted from Texas A&M, after my junior season, and I talked to him and I talked to Pete Carroll, and we set up a recruiting trip, official visit, but I ended up not going.
Well, I'm a UCLA Bruin. I think you made a great decision, Tony. All right, I'll tell you that right now. Hey, so how about Texas Longhorns? Was Mac Brown after you? And man, because it's all about the burnt orange in Texas, but you went for the Aggies.
Yeah, I got recruited by Texas. I went on a junior day visit. Me and another guy who was really highly recruited. He's with the Kansas City Chiefs now, Cyrus Gray, and we both went on that trip together. And from the looks of how they were treating us and everything, we were going to get offered that day. They loved us. I ate lunch with Mac Brown and his wife, and they were they were showing us a lot of favoritism. But when it came time to start offering, everybody was getting called out of the little room that they had us in, and he didn't offer us. And then they called us right after it was over. We were headed back to Dallas. They called us and told us that they needed our transcripts. But me and him had already had about 5, 6, 7 offers, and so you know, that kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Just another recruiting straight mistake by Mac Brown, man. He's got a bunch of them because you're quarterback at A&M right now. He didn't recruit. He didn't get him either.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, Johnny.
Hey, I got to ask you about, there's a couple phrases, being a Pac-10 guy or now Pac-12. I've never understood what gig'em means.
Yeah.
Texas A&M. What does gig'em mean?
It was way back when, way before my time. It was Texas A&M and TCU was a big rivalry, and you know they're horn frog, and when you go frog hunting, it's called gig'em.
This is called gig'em.
Frog hunting. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
It's called gig'em. So you know it's basically saying beat TCU.
That's
you know,
a great
beat
story.
The horn frog.
Have you ever gone frog hunting before
or gigging for that matter?
One or the other.
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
No,
can't be easy.
But you have gone. Did you guys play TCU when you were there?
No, we didn't.
Oh.
No, I didn't get a chance to play those guys.
So you never got a chance to gig them for real. How about
no,
that?
No,
what about
just,
that 12th man? What's that all about, that 12th man tradition?
The real 12th man, not the one, not our neighbors.
Nice. Nice. Good.
Like
It's crazy. That's what I fell in love with. I went to my godbrother, Von Miller, so that when Texas A&M was recruiting him, we were actually living in the same house, so I would go on trips with him, and they kind of got a, you know, that's kind of how they got a head start on me because they started recruiting me and whisper stuff in my ear, you know, while they were recruiting him when I was younger. But I would go, we would go down, and we would go to games, and I just fell in love with, you know, like I said, the fans, the atmosphere, and it's crazy, like all of the tradition. My mom fell in love with it. Everybody that went to Texas A&M, you know, on those trips, they fell in love with the school. So,
I tell you what, you know, it's funny. I have friends who go on; they want to go on one cool college road trip a year, you know, to like, you know, Death Valley, LSU, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds
mm-hmm.
like College Station might be a must visit.
Man, I'm telling you, you definitely will not regret it. The atmosphere. I know I keep repeating.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I think I'm going to start making my plans for 2014.
Yeah, yeah, man. Especially now, you know, in the SEC, and you know, with all the Johnny Football mania, it's great, man. I can't wait to go back on the bye week.
Oh man, this is great. We're talking to Tony Girardetti, by the way, number 63 defensive lineman for the 49ers, and just finding out more about him. It's great to know him. It puts a face to the name and a personality to the name, and he's joining us here a couple minutes before practice on the Ring Central guest line. So Tony, back to now, you're getting out of A&M and you go undrafted. Now, was that a surprise to you, a shock to you? Were you upset? Were you angry? And then how soon did the 49ers and you hook up?
Yeah, I was pretty shocked, and everybody around me, you know, my family and my agent, we were all, you know, shocked. But you know, at that point, we didn't really have time to, you know, feel sorry for ourselves or, you know, pout or, you know, go down in the dumps. You know, I knew what kind of football player I was, and you know, and how bad I wanted this. So, you know, I really didn't have time. And then my agent, both, I have two guys that work together. Both of their phones are blowing up, and you know, mine as well. And it was kind of crazy because, you know, I didn't expect to have to pick where I was going to go play. I expected to get picked, you
mm-hmm.
know. So, you know, I had probably anywhere from 20 to 24 or 5 teams calling me and my agent. And I'm, you know, and I'm looking at my agent like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I don't know. You know, it was just a lot for me. And he was like, man, you got to start narrowing it down. You know, you got to pick, you know. So I narrowed it down to a couple teams, four or five teams. And then, I knew that the 49ers were a great defense, and I knew the kind of players they had, and Justin and Ray. And, you know, my personality has always been different. I've always been, you know, a real believer in my ability and what I can do, you know, on the football field. So I really didn't look at like the depth or anything like that, which I mean, maybe in hindsight, maybe that would have been a good idea. You know, the 49ers already had 70 linemen, you know, and, you know, really it was going to be impossible to make the team. If I would have looked at it, you know, I didn't though. But, you know, I came here because it was a similar defense to the one I ran in Texas A&M. And, you know, I knew it was a great place. It was a winning organization. And, you know, so I just, I picked the 49ers, and I mean, I don't regret it at all, not one bit, you know, even being on practice squad when, you know, I probably could have played a lot of other places, you know, been in a rotation as a rookie, but, you know, the stuff that I learned in that almost full season, I ended up getting activated at the end, but in that almost full season being on practice squad from Dustin and Ray and Ice and Ricky Jean and all those guys, I mean, it's, I think it was detrimental for my, you know, for my career. You know, it was, I learned so much from those guys, and I was, you know, I tell everybody, I just try to be like a sponge, and still to this day, you know, I learn stuff from Justin still. I learn stuff from Glenn now, Ian, all those guys, and you know, I just try to be a sponge and just soak it all up, and, you know, and add it in my game.
Well, it's obviously been a great story for you. You go practice squad 2012, and now you're a major contributor, and we know you got to get going. But just last question for you would be, now that you're on the field, you're wearing 63, circumstances get you in the ball game, you're in the NFL, and you can either shrink or you can rise to the occasion, and you're making plays, none more so than your interception against the Houston Texans, Tony, your home state team, too. So yeah. Just tell us about that moment, what it was like, you know, for the big lineman to get his hands on one, and how it must have felt after your journey.
I mean, I had been playing all season, you know, not as much as I play. I've been playing the last couple of weeks, but I had been playing, getting mixed in a rotation. You know, so I was getting prepared by, you know, Jimmy Tonsula's a great coach, and he does a great job of preparing me and Dobbs preparing us like we're going to play, you know, a whole game. And so, you know, once I got in, it really wasn't, you know, I didn't have big eyes or anything. It was, you know, I was cool. You know, that play was just, it was a great call by Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator. He called a pressure, and I had a rush, a drop read based off what the block the offensive lineman gave me. He gave me a drop read. You know, I dropped and Shaw threw me the ball. I caught it, you know.
You always had good hands?
Yeah, I actually, at DeSoto, I play receiver and tight end as well as D-line.
So. Classic, man. Nice. Hey, that sounds like, you know what? The way Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman think, they might have a play for you one of these days.
Have you told them?
Little tight end, red zone package, maybe?
In motion.
I wouldn't be surprised, man. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised.
After they saw you make that interception, that's probably they got their wheels turning. If they didn't, we'll start it right here
we'll
on the radio.
The seed,
all right,
yeah, totally.
So we'll get you out there. Hey, Tony, right. Man, it has been a real pleasure getting to know you. Great story, and we're continuing to watch you play football. So we know you got to get to work. We appreciate you coming on the Murphy Matt
Good
Show.
Having you, man.
And we'll say hi. We come on down to Santa Clara real soon. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.